Lake are often called synoptic gospels. Let's do. That word synoptic means taking the same point of view. The same point of view is synoptic. So there's another church word that's been explained for you. It comes from the word synopsis. You know what a synopsis is? That's just it's a brief outline or a general view of a subject or a written work. So I want you to remember that key phrase that we just said, same point of view. Same point of view. That's synoptic. Now, in the Greek, gospel, that word gospel, is defined as a good message. So each of these writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, gives a summarized account of Jesus' ministry from his perspective. But when we think about Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they're coming from the same point of view. Okay? They give similar accounts of Jesus' life and ministry.
Let's say something here. Gospel, she just said, the definition is a good message. And I want you to think about that. And so when we as ministers preach the gospel, we're not telling people, if you don't get your life straightened out, you're going to hell. Is that a good message?
Mm-hmm.
And see, so often we've approached it wrong.
Mm.
We've tried to browbeat people. We've tried to tell people how bad they are. And we're emphasizing their sin rather than emphasizing the Redeemer. And what we need to be telling people is the good news, not bad news. And I promise you, if you tell them the good news, you'll get better results. Okay?
It's His goodness that draws us in and brings us to redemption, right? It's His goodness. So, we've talked about synoptic, same point of view. Matthew, Mark, and Luke focused on the physical life and ministry of Jesus. Now, John, on the other hand, and we're getting ready to study his writing here, focuses more on the supernatural person of Jesus, the Son of God, Son of God. Now, we have talked about Matthew and Mark and Luke, but I'm going to just go ahead and read over our study guide just to remind you, to give you a little bit of a contrast here. Matthew is believed to be Matthew, the son of Alphaeus. He was a tax collector when Jesus asked him to become a disciple. Matthew was selected by Jesus to be one of the 12 apostles. Well, the author of Mark is believed to be John Mark, who went with Barnabas and Paul on a missionary journey. He was not one of the 12 apostles. We just finished reading the book of Luke. The author of Luke is believed to be Luke the physician and the traveling companion of Paul. He gave a documented account of the events surrounding the life of Jesus and to an individual named Theophilus. Now remember, you're going to want to remember his name. Now, he's also credited with writing the book of Acts to this same man. Luke was not one of the 12 apostles. Isn't that interesting? Now, let's talk about John. John is believed to be John the beloved apostle, who was the son of Zebedee and Salome and the brother of James. He is also credited with writing the three epistles of John and the Revelation. Same man. He was selected by Jesus as one of the 12 apostles. And so our point for bringing this back to your remembrance from the beginning of your study guide here is to hone in on that word synoptic and let you know that John writes from a different point of view, from a different perspective. And you're going to see the contrast of that as we go through and read this book. You're going to see and you're going to notice that John really focuses more on the supernatural person of Jesus. You can see that right away in the prologue of John. When we start reading right away, you're going to see that he's focused on the Son of God as opposed to the physical life of Jesus.
One other thing, Jesus called him and James, his brother, the sons of thunder.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, we think of John as the beloved and the one whom Jesus loved. But he's the one, you want us to call fire down from heaven, just wipe them out.
Yeah.
That doesn't really sound like the love of God operating. Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you're of. You understand? Okay. And so when we look at these men, they're ordinary men. You understand? They thought like we think. And so they had to deal with things and get the flesh under subjection. Jesus harnessed a lot of that himself, just like with James and John. And when you look at the apostles, for instance, Jesus selected some unlikely characters.
Mm-hmm.
Think of this. He selected 12 men to represent him after he left the earth. And they're not who society would select. And even one of them betrayed him. Okay? But he had faith that they'd come around. And they did. And when you look at the gospel writers, half of them, two writers, aren't even apostles, right? Matthew and John were the only apostles here in all this. Now I want us to be very deliberate when we go in to this reading, because it's just going to be in short segments, because I want you to see what I see. You know, the Holy Spirit's going to have to do that for you, okay? I'm going to give you some information here, okay?
Mm-hmm. So, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Now, to understand this, we have to go all the way back to the beginning. Where would that be? Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth, right? And the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. And God said. Now, what's words? Something said?
That's right.
In the beginning was the Word. You understand, in the Old Testament, you won't find Jesus, the Son of God, is not in the Old Testament. John, this writer, when you look at the epistle, in 1 John, says there are three who bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. Not the Son. The Father, the Word, the Holy Spirit. So the Word has always existed. The Word is eternal. All right? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Right?
Yes.
And then there was one more ingredient there that was, earth was without form and void, darkness covered the face of the deep, and the Spirit moved, brooded over the face of the waters. So you have God, then you have the Word of God, then you have the Spirit of God. As a matter of fact, if you look God up in the Hebrew, it's the Hebrew word Elohim, which is plural. And so you're seeing the plurality of God in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, right? You want to read that?
He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through Him, and apart from Him, not one thing was created that has been created.
All things were made by the Word, and without the Word was not anything made that was made.
Yes.
How did God create? And God said, light be. God said, let there be an expanse in the sky. All the way down. God said, let there be dry land and water. Let's separate the dry land and the water. God said, let's make plants. God said, let's make birds. God said, let's make man. God said, let's make animals. God said. What did God say? Words. Now I want to show you something about the Trinity of God. We'll just talk to you. The three that bear record in heaven are the Trinity. Now, and I'll show you why we use Son, okay? But it's the Father, the Word, the Holy Spirit. Father God, out of His heart came the Word. So the Word's God. Word's with God. Word was God, and the Spirit's God. So you've got those three working together to create. Right? The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, without Him, without anything made that was made. Now look at this next verse.
Life was in Him, and that life was the light of men.
In God, in the Word of God. Let me go back. In the beginning was the Word. The Word's with God. The Word was God. The same as in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him, without the Word, was not anything that was made. And in the Word was life. You've got to keep the Word as the subject here.
Yes.
In the Word is life. And the life that comes out of that Word illuminates people.
Mm-hmm.
So illumination comes from the Word or the life. All this is out of the heart of the Father. God speaks it. You follow me all that? Okay, let's go ahead with the next one.
That light shines in the darkness, yet the darkness did not overcome it.
Now, here again we're talking about the Word,
the
life, the light. And darkness can't overcome. You understand, when you look at creation, God separated light from darkness.
Mm-hmm.
The two can't occupy the same space at the same time. Darkness cannot come into this room unless you cut the light off. And as soon as you cut the light on, darkness has to leave. Why? Because the Word of God is making that come to pass. He separated it. It can't coexist. Now, this is a sight and shadow.
Mm-hmm.
Evil, dark, can't coexist with good, light. It's a spiritual principle we need to see, okay? Now, go on, let's keep reading.
Okay, verse 6. There was a man named John who was sent from God.
John the Baptist.
That's right. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light.
So, the forerunner that Isaiah prophesied about, okay, the one to prepare the way for the Lord, God sent him to be a witness or a forerunner. What's he doing? He's turning people toward the light. He's testifying of the light. Behold the Lamb of God, it takes away the sin of the world. There's one coming after me who's mightier than I. I'm not even worthy to untie his shoes. And we're going to break that down and show you that's not a good translation. We'll talk about this as we go along, okay? But John is not, John the Baptist is the preacher that's preparing the way for Jesus. He's proclaiming, even to his own disciples, he's saying, behold the Lamb of God, and they leave John to follow Jesus. And later on, you'll see John says he must increase, I must decrease. Okay, let's go read it.
Verse 9, the true light who gives light to everyone was coming into the world.
The Word. The Word is the light that illuminates everyone who comes into the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Word
mm-hmm.
that illuminates. Okay?
He was in the world, and the world was created through him. Yet the world did not recognize him.
Isn't that something?
Yes.
The one who brought the world into existence wasn't recognized by the world he brought into existence. In other words, the invention did not recognize the inventor. Still going on today, you understand? But it doesn't stop there.
He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him.
Isn't that amazing? Right?
But to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be children of God, to those who believe in his name.
Okay, you getting the message here? Okay. So you and I have the right and privilege, if we'll believe, we have the right and privilege to become sons of God. All we have to do is believe on him. You believe your way in the right standing or into the kingdom of God. You understand? Now look at the next verse.
Mm-hmm. Who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God.
In other words, this was not natural. The birth of the Word was supernatural. All right, then the next verse.
The Word became flesh and took up residence among us. We observed his glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth.
The Word became a physical body.
Yeah.
Now, how did that happen? Now, if you go back to Luke, the angel Gabriel comes to Mary, who is a virgin, with a word from God. And I'm going to paraphrase all this. Okay, Mary, God sent me here to tell you that you're going to become pregnant. And that fetus in you, that baby that's growing in you, is going to be called the Holy One, Son of the Highest. And I want you to name him Jesus. And she's thinking about this. I'm a virgin. Virgins don't become pregnant. So, how can this happen? And so, he tells her that the Spirit of God is going to come over, just like creation. The Spirit was hovering. Right? He said, the Spirit of God is going to overshadow you, and that thing conceived in you is the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to notice this. Conception is dependent upon the Word and Spirit coming together.
Mm-hmm.
Revelation.
Yeah.
You with me? The Spirit makes the Word come alive to produce. So Mary says, okay, be it unto me according to your word. Just like God said in Genesis 1, God said to Mary and got the same results. The word produced a baby. The word became flesh and dwelt among us, is what John says. And so, Jesus as a physical person, Son of Man, did not exist in the Old Testament, but the Word of God did. And the Word of God became a physical man. Pretty incredible when you think about it. But here's what is so amazing, is that we're created in the image of God. So God is three parts, and so are you. Physical, the body, the inward man, which is comprised of soul and spirit. So, just as God is three-part, we are three-part. Just as God has given us the ability to speak and our words come to pass, I mean, just like He spoke and His word came to pass, He's given us the ability to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever thought about this? Animals don't talk. Fish don't talk. Birds don't talk. Only people talk. And He gave the people the dominion. And that dominion is exercised through words. Our words are seed. That when we speak that word out, we're sowing. So harvest is coming. That's why it's so important to believe what you say. You're speaking what you believe. You understand? God never thought that when He said light be, that light wouldn't come into existence.
Mm-hmm.
When we speak words in agreement with God, we should never doubt that word coming to pass. We're saying what God says, and God can't lie. Now, you can doubt, but God can't lie. Now, I want to show you something else here, just about the Word of God, what the power of the Word of God. John the Baptist. Zachariah's old, Elizabeth's old, she's barren. The angel Gabriel, the same angel, appears to her 6 months before he does to Mary, or appears to Zachariah. And he tells him that Elizabeth is going to become pregnant. Now, instead of Zachariah asking a question, he questioned Gabriel. Mary said, "How can this be?" Zachariah says, "Prove it. Give me a sign. I don't believe it without a sign." Gabriel, "I'll give you a sign. You'll be struck dumb to where you can't speak a word. You won't be able to speak against this pregnancy.
Mm.
You shut your mouth until God's word is fulfilled." You understand? I want you to see the power in words. Okay? God's word produced a physical body for Jesus, and Jesus always spoke the word of God. He was the word of God. See, it came out of the heart of God. Jesus came out of the heart of God. How are you born again? Words. You have to believe in your heart, but it doesn't stop there. Now with your mouth, you have to acknowledge what you believe in your heart, and you're saved. How did you get saved? You believed the word of God, and you spoke the word of God out of your mouth. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You follow me?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, this is tremendous. And what the Lord was showing me many years ago is the creative ability we have with our mouth. Solomon said it this way in Proverbs, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." Then he went on to say, "Those who love it, those who love death, or those who love life, will eat the fruit of it." You speak death, you'll eat the fruit of it. You speak life, you'll eat the fruit of it. And I've told some people and talking with them, I said, "You're digging your grave with your teeth. Your mouth is cutting your life short. Speak in agreement with God. Quit speaking against yourself." "Well, I won't live to be 40. One of our students kept saying that he wouldn't live to be a certain age. And I said, "Don't say that. But his words came to pass. You better watch what you say about yourself. Say what God says about you. Don't say what other people say. Well, you'll never amount to anything." Don't you ever say that about God. "Well, I don't have anything, never had anything, never will have anything." No, not with that confession you won't. Sowing the wrong seed, you're going to get the wrong harvest. Listen, God's word will cause us to become pregnant. When the Spirit of God and the Word of God comes together, then whatever that word says and we believe will give birth to. That's how you got saved. You heard the word of God. The Spirit of God convicted you. You agreed with the word. You said what the word said. You got saved. That's how you get baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's how you get healed. That's how you get delivered. And all you agree with the word. Get in agreement with the word and let the Spirit and the word work together. God always is in agreement with himself. And we have to get in agreement with ourselves. But one of the biggest struggles we have in life is our spirit and body won't agree. So what do? Die to the flesh. And I'm not talking about physically dying. I'm talking about where you don't entertain those thoughts. the word you let the Spirit on the inside of you, that let Him rule over that house. Let me ask you this. I guess most of you live in a house. Does the house tell you what to do? Or do you rule the house? You take care of the house. It's not the house's responsibility to dictate to you. Now, a lot of people are ruled by their house because it dictates to them all the time. They put more attention on external than internal. I said a long time ago, I will not give my life to a yard. I will mow it. But I don't have a golf course, nor do I desire one. You understand? I'm not going to give my life to it. I want it to be neat. I'll keep the house up. But that house is not going to rule me to where I'm walking around every day looking to see what I can do. No, if something breaks, I fix it. But I'm not looking for something to fix. And I'm not looking to remodel every 5 years. You understand? If the floor's good, then let it last 100 years. It's serving me well. It's amazing how much time and energy people spend in letting something dictate to them that they should be ruling. Now, you could relate to that, but you know that's what we do with the body?
Mm-hmm.
We let the body talk to us all the time. You need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do that. And sometimes you just need to tell your body, shut up. I'm not your servant. You serve me. That's what you're here for. You're a vehicle. I'm the driver. But how many people let their bodies drive them? You with me? We're going to have to get in agreement with God. That's a tremendous principle right here in this word coming out of the heart of God. And God has given human beings the ability to do what He did, let words come out of our heart and produce. We have more power than we can imagine. If we just agree with God. It's amazing people are using their imagination to self-destruct. Rather than using it in a positive way. Okay? So now you know how the Word became flesh. Okay? So if you want your words to come into existence, speak in agreement with God where the Spirit of God's got something to work with. And I'm going to go one step further here, and you see this in Psalms, how the angels, who are greater in strength than we are, hearken to the voice of His words, not yours. That's why it's so important that we speak God's Word, so angels will work in our behalf. But if we're not speaking in agreement with God, they're just there. They hearken to the voice of His Word. I've heard people say, well, I told my angel to do this, I told my angel to do that. Well, why don't you spit in the wind? You get just as much result. They're not listening to you. They listen to the Word of God. And if they listen to the Word of God, how much more should we listen to the Word of God? And I'm going to tell you, when they speak the Word of God, they get results. And we will too, if we believe it. Amen?
Amen.
All right, time's up. That's we're going to have right. Something. What verse did we stop with? Do you know?
15.
Okay, we'll pick back up there in our next session. All right? Father, I thank You that You bless us indeed, You enlarge our territory, Your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us, You make Your face to shine upon us, You're gracious unto us, You lift up Your countenance upon us, You give us peace. The Lord, we invite you to rise up, let your enemies be scattered, and those who hate you flee before you. Amen. Do you know that's right out of the Scriptures? Do you believe it? Then you get the fruit of it.